Thank you, Chris.
This lectern's got a bit of a royal glow to it. I don't know whether some of you have seen on Facebook, but Princess Anne borrowed this lectern on Friday for a charity event in Hereford, so I'm just thinking on whether I should touch it or not. Blessed to be a blessing. We're able to bless royalty as well. I think it's great, isn't it? We're going to look at this passage now. There's lots in it, and I'm not going to touch most of it, particularly the difficult bits, because a lot of commentators don't understand what the difficult bits mean. Go and look it up in a commentary yourself, but I would do want to focus on a couple of bits. But let's pray, first of all. Lord, we thank you for the hope that you give us. And as we look at some of these words now, may you just deepen an understanding of what that hope is and of your good news, that we may go and proclaim it to others in this town and beyond. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Giving people hope is an incredible gift, isn't it? Just imagine the doctor with the patient with kidney failure saying to that patient, you know, I've found you a donor kidney. I've found you a match. I'm giving you hope. Or this Remembrance Day, as we think of just all that went on in our wars, think of the intelligence officer going to some of the army generals and say, I've got this intelligence that I want to share with you. The news is that actually the enemy line is broken, that the enemy is nearly defeated, that the war is nearly at an end. Or some of you might relate to, think of the desperate marathon runner. I looked a bit like this when I went out with John Rowe running on Tuesday. But the person desperately ill at the end of the marathon, who's just exhausted, but actually the person comes up to him next door and says, look, there's the finishing line. You're nearly there. You've nearly done it. Or perhaps another one that some of us would relate to, that friend sitting alongside the person in darkness, the person in the midst of depression, who's able to say, you know, this won't last forever. There's light at the end of the tunnel. You can't see it, but actually in a few weeks, in a few months, you'll be back to normal. It's not going to be like this forever. You see, hope is an incredible gift. It can bring new perspective. It can help people see or experience what they can't currently see. Hope transforms situations, and by showing a different and better future, hope brings light into people's darkness. And the great news I want to share with all of us here today is that we are given the invitation to be hope givers. If we are followers of Jesus, you know, then one of our roles is to be hope givers to a broken world. And we have just an amazing news of amazing hope that we have to share. And in today's reading from 1 Peter, we see this, don't we? We see Peter say to those Christians he was writing to, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. And I want to particularly focus on this and one of the other verses in the passage this morning. And what I want to say is when Peter's writing this, actually, he's not writing to the ministers of this world saying, when you proclaim evangelistically to big crowds, you proclaim the hope. He's writing to normal people. People like you and me. Yes, I'm normal too, like you. He's writing to people in everyday situations. It's the equivalent of saying, look, when you're down the pub having a chat with your mates, when you're sitting having a coffee in your workplace, where you're sitting with your neighbours, always be prepared to give an answer to anyone who asks you for the reason for the hope that you have. See, throughout this letter, Peter's been encouraging the believers to live distinct lives, hasn't he? To live lives which are different to the lives of non-believers around him. I like the phrase someone used saying, living questionable lives. I've used it before here. Not dodgy lives, but living lives which will raise questions from others around us. Why do you seem to be so content and have a peace which I don't have? Why do you live so differently to us? Why do you seem to try and bless the people who hurt you and not try and take revenge? Why do you seem to have a different purpose and values from others in life? And perhaps now this question today, what's this incredible hope that you seem to have? I've known this verse and quoted this verse for many years now. It's quite a well-known verse from the Bible. But I must admit, it's only really as we've been studying 1 Peter these last few weeks that I've really grasped the context into which this is written. You see, Peter's not writing to people where life is rosy and saying, go on, go and tell people of the rosy, amazing, fantastic life that you have in Jesus. He's writing to people who are in the midst of suffering, who are in the midst of struggles, who are actually finding life really tough. And he's saying, in that place, in that context of suffering and really difficult places, proclaim the hope that you have. It's reminded me of what Terry English said a couple of weeks ago when he spoke. I think it was on the Sunday when he spoke, and he talked about changing our perspective, didn't he? Do you remember that bit where he was talking about the different spectacles? And he said, actually, if you're in a tough place now, then actually we have a choice. We can either, in that tough place, just say, why has God brought this on me? And look it inwards and just think, actually, this is really difficult. Or we can actually have the choice to lift our heads and to look to God in that tough place. And in that pain and in that suffering, to pray, God, would you give me an opportunity to share something of your hope in the midst of this suffering? Would you, in the midst of this difficult place, give me an opportunity to witness to others, perhaps others who are going through the same sort of stuff, thinking of maybe the doctor's surgery or the hospital appointment, where actually we're sitting there with others in a difficult place. But we can sit there and actually just pray that God would give us an opportunity to speak of the hope we have in our suffering and our pain. Or maybe in the workplace where actually that you're getting a hard time and others are getting a hard time by the boss. But actually in that, you can live differently and proclaim a different story, a different hope. Or perhaps sitting in the bereavement cafe in the midst of your bereavement, but actually alongside others who don't yet know Jesus, we have the chance in the midst of that pain and grief to proclaim a different hope, to proclaim that actually we do not need to grieve as those who have no hope, as it says in the New Testament. You see, crisis and difficult times create opportunities for witness if we look through God's spectacles. But whether we're in tough times or not, you know, we're all called to do this, I think. To always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks us, to give the reason for the hope that we have. And that word, always be prepared, I think actually always be prepared, it helps to have thought things through beforehand, before that moment where someone says, what's the hope that you have? So I thought today we might think that through. And I thought today we might just go a little bit interactive. You're getting worried now, aren't you? Because I wanted to invite you to spend a couple of minutes, and you can either do this on your own in the quiet. And if you're not in that place today, you don't need to talk to anyone. But actually, maybe you want to turn to the person next to you and answer this question. Thinking perhaps of your current situation, and maybe for some of you, I know it's a tough place. What is the hope that you have because you're a Christian? I'm going to spend 2 minutes. Just feel free to talk to the person next to you. I'm then going to share my answers, but I'm also going to take a roving mic around to invite you to share anything that you might share. So 2 minutes, have a little think about that question. If someone asks you, what's the hope that you have because you're a Christian in your present circumstance, what would you say? Okay, anyone brave enough to share something? Don't make me share it all. Judy.
I know that when I go to work or when I go into different situations, that God is always there because something good always happens, despite how bad it may be or how tough that situation is. There's something good to see. So yeah, that makes me Christian.
Great. So the hope that actually, you know, God's always there and you can see God at work. Pauline.
Because I have a plan for you. So no matter what my plan might be, I know that God has a plan. And the second one is that my name is in his hand and nothing's going to take that away.
Brilliant. Lovely. God's got a plan for us and a name. His name is in God's hands. Anyone else want to share something? Colin.
So when we're feeling overwhelmed or desperate, it can be an exciting place to be with God, because that's when we reach out to him and we get closer to him than when we're feeling confident and comfortable in our skin.
So that's that hope, and I know you know that from experience, that in the tough times, God comes close and you know his presence. Anyone else? This side, don't let the other side beat you. 3-0 at the moment. Sarah.
I think when we've got a day where there's an awful lot to accomplish, that I don't actually have to rely on my own strength, that I can do things with God. So on a very practical level, that he's there in the days where there's just too much to achieve.
Brilliant. Thank you. And actually just saying those things to people, actually, in general conversation, actually, people who don't know that, it will open up conversations. It will make people think. It will actually just share something of what it means to be one of God's children, to be one of God's followers. And this was my list. I had a bit more time to think about it than you. But some of you, I mean, we've covered several of them. Just that thing of I'm loved and known by God, that whatever happens, I'm loved and I'm known. Psalm 139, go and read it. Amazing words. Second one, I'm accepted and forgiven. That hope that actually whatever I've done, however badly I've messed up in the past, that God doesn't hold it against me. But that actually he wipes it clean, that I don't have to carry around burdens of my mistakes and my mess there. I'm created for a purpose. I love that phrase. We've used it as the strap line for the school vision statement for Malvern Wells, which says we're God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. It's a bit like what Pauline was just saying there. We're God's masterpieces. And God's got good things that he's planned from before the beginning of time for us to do. I think that's amazing. It shows we're significant. That actually the future holds important stuff that God's given us to do. That thing of I'm never alone, that whatever happens, that God's with me. That God will provide for what I need, give us the strength to keep going. The stuff that Sarah was saying, in the difficult times, that God promises to give us what we need to keep going. He doesn't always promise to give us a Ferrari, but he does promise to give us what we need to hold firm and keep going. And that last one too, that which is, if you like, the great promise, the great hope of the Christian faith, that one day, however bad things are now, one day, everything will be put right for all eternity. It talks about in Revelation, he'll wipe away every tear from their eyes. There'll be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. That however bad what we're going through is now, one day it's all going to be put right for those who love and know Jesus in eternity with Jesus, where actually everything will be sorted and made new. See, I think they're amazing reasons, aren't they, to have hope. And there's some of the things that actually it's really easy to share in an informal way with others. I think sometimes we can make it such a big deal. But we can just share those things, drop them into a conversation, see what God does with them. That's the hope that we have to give away to others. That's the hope that so many in our broken world are searching for. Because they don't feel significant, because they don't feel loved, because they don't have a purpose, because they don't know what the future holds. That is an amazing hope that we have to share. And why can we have this hope? That's what I want to go on to. Why do we have this hope? Well, I want to focus on that verse 18. Because actually all this is possible because of what Christ did on the cross that we've been remembering already today. It talks about, and this is a slightly different translation to the church Bibles, but the one I've learned. For Christ died for sins. Once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. You see, the whole reason that we can have hope, we can have all those things I've just put on the last screen, is because of what happened on the cross 2,000 years ago. And here on Remembrance Sunday, when we're remembering others giving their lives to the country, we come and remember what Jesus did for each and every one of us. And I want to just unpack this a little, and I want to use a little illustration which some of you have used before. Because I want to just take it bit by bit to just work out what this really says. It starts, for Christ died for sins. You see, Christ died because actually our lives were messed up. You know, my illustration is my oil sheet illustration, which some of you have seen me do. You see, a few years ago, I was servicing my car. And when I went to buy the oil for my car, they gave me a free oil mat to mop up all the oil. And you know, I was determined. I thought, I'm going to have a challenge. I'm going to try and change the oil on my car without getting the mat dirty. And I was determined to do this. I put it underneath. I'm going to catch all of it in my little oil drum. So I serviced my car, and this is what happened to my mat. And it's a mess. But you know, as I was doing that, God spoke to me. He said, isn't this a bit about life? That actually we try in life to be really good and to follow God's way, and we try to be really hard to live up to God's standards. But actually, however hard we try, we make a mess of our lives. And others make a mess of our lives. And we walk around with mess and stains and stuff from the past. Sin, the Bible calls it. And, you know, this passage, this verse says Christ died for this stuff. He died for the mess of our lives. You see, because what happens is that as we all know, and many of us know, that actually this mess means that actually we can't come into contact with a holy and perfect God because we are imperfect. You see, it's a bit like if I'd gone to see Princess Anne on Friday and I'd gone wearing this. I don't think they'd have let me near, would they? But you see, that's what it is with God, is our sin stops us, separates us from God. And however hard I try and clean up this mat, however hard I try and rub all the dirt off or paint over it, it will never get it out. And however hard we try to live up to God's standard by coming to church, by praying, by giving our money, by serving in the church, by doing all the stuff, it's never ever good enough on our own to actually make us perfect before God. And that's why Christ died, the Bible tells us, because actually we couldn't do it ourselves. And Christ died for sins once for all. He died once. This sacrifice was a one-off sacrifice. We don't have to keep going back sacrificing like they did in the Old Testament. Jesus' sacrifice did it once, and it did it for all. It was, he took on the sin of the whole world, and he enabled all of us to have the chance to be restored. And then this thing for the righteous, for the unrighteous, you see, and this is where this comes in quite nicely, because actually what Jesus did is that Jesus, the perfect person, died on the cross with his righteousness, his unblemished record, his perfect record. But actually what happened on the cross was the righteous died in place of the unrighteous. On that cross that Jesus took our mess, our sin, our past, our mistakes, all that stuff, which means we fall short. We miss the mark before God. But on the cross, Jesus took that for the whole world. And in return, he gave us his righteousness. That actually we no longer need to walk in the sin and the shame and the guilt and the stuff of the past. But because of what Jesus did on the cross, when we ask for forgiveness, he actually gives us his righteousness. So that when God sees us, he doesn't see our mess, he doesn't see our mistakes, he doesn't see our sin, he doesn't see that stuff which no one else knows about because we are too ashamed of it. He's dealt with that on the cross. and he gives us his righteousness. And you know, I think that's amazing, and I just really had a sense when I was preparing this that actually some people here really need to grasp that, that actually some people are walking around like this, thinking I'm forgiven by God, sort of. Walking around thinking actually I know God died for my sins, but the reality is that you're still carrying that stuff. That you're still burdened with the stuff of the past that you're ashamed and you're guilty for and that you hate about yourself. But the amazing news is that you don't have to carry that anymore. Because actually Jesus died on the cross, the righteous for the unrighteous, and he gives us his righteousness. And you know, that's an amazing hope, isn't it? That's an amazing story to tell, that because of what God has done, because of what Jesus did on the cross, we don't have to walk around in our guilt and shame anymore. We don't have to try and live a good enough life for God. Because on the cross, he dealt with it. And what was the result of him dealing with it? He, in dealing with that, in giving us his righteousness and taking away our unrighteousness, it means there's no barrier anymore, that when God sees us, he sees us as if we'd never sinned. And therefore, he actually brings us back into relationship with God. That's the amazing news. That's the amazing hope that we have to share. That we don't need to walk around in that stuff anymore. That we don't need to walk around in a broken relationship with God. That we can know God's presence. We can know God's plan for our lives. We can know God helping us and providing what we need for what he's called us to be. That's the hope we have to share. And how are we to share it? Well, the end of the verse talks about do this with gentleness and respect. You know, when Jesus shared the good news, he didn't thrust it down people's throats, did he? He actually gave them an invitation. You know, Jesus, when he was dealing with people, he says, you know, I want to give you my righteousness. You give me your unrighteousness. He gently and sensitively gave people that opportunity to have him deal with this stuff and to bring freedom and to bring hope. And so when we are sharing this news with others, the thing is we are to share it too with gentleness and respect, actually saying actually it's God's job to convict people. We're there to just share our hope and let God do the rest. But actually, it's an amazing news to have, to share with others. And I want to just say two things as I finish here. Maybe there are some people here who actually don't know that still for themselves. Maybe you actually, Jesus has offered this to you and you haven't actually accepted his forgiveness and his righteousness and said, I'm sorry and I want to follow you and thank you and let me follow your way. You know, if that's you, I would love to talk to you afterwards and just give you something and just give you a chance to do that and to allow God to meet you and to accept his offer today. And to the rest of us, I want to just say, I'd love you to pray two things. One, that actually you would know the hope that God brings more deeply. We can say this stuff, but do we really know it here? Do we really live as if actually we're not carrying around this guilt and this shame anymore? Because God can take it away completely. He can relieve us of it. Do we really know that hope deeply? And if not, well, let's all of us pray that we'd know that hope more deeply. But let's pray too that we'd have an opportunity this week to share something of that hope with somebody. That we would live such questionable lives, even in the midst of our struggles and suffering, that people would say, what's the hope that you have? Why are you living differently? Why in the midst of this stuff where you should be all over the place and in absolutely distraught, why have you got peace? Why have you got hope? Let's pray for those opportunities and see what God can do with them. I'm going to invite the music group to come back, and I just invite everybody to stand, and just let's, first of all, just be still and listen to God. And see what God wants to say to each one of us this morning. Let's just have a bit of silence. And I invite God to speak to us personally about what he wants to say to us this morning. I think particularly just this, that thing of actually just people here who've carried around still stuff from the past that actually God wants to say, actually, I really have forgiven you and taken all that stuff as far as the east is from the west. And when I look at you, I don't see that anymore. And God wants to lift that burden from some people, I think, this morning. If that's you, we'd love to pray for you. And I think also just that sense of where people, particularly people perhaps in tough situations now, really tough situations now, I'd love to just invite you to come and receive prayer. Maybe someone next to you will come up to the front, and we'd love to pray for you that you would know God's hope in that in such a powerful way that you live a different life to others and that others will ask you for that. And perhaps others too here, actually, if you want to say, I want to have confidence and I want God to give me the opportunities to talk of the hope that I have to others. If you really want to say, I want to be a real hope giver for God, then, you know, I'd love to pray. I'd love to get others to pray for you too. We're going to sing a couple of songs to finish up, which speak of just this stuff we've been talking about, speak of the hope that we have. But I'd love to just invite you, if you want to come and receive prayer for any of that stuff or anything else, and perhaps I haven't organized a prayer team, anyone who wants to pray, come forward. And we'd love to pray for you in that. But let's worship, let's pray. If you want to just sit down and be quiet with God, and continue God to minister to you, then do.